How many of you think he ought to be the song leader? All right. Doing it. You would miss me. Oh, my word. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Who in the world hung that clock up back there? Who did that? I love it. What's it on, magnets? Oh. Boy, I'm getting it tonight, I tell you. They put the clock up, so they didn't put it up for you, Pastor Josh. What's going on? Oh, my word. Well, this is crazy March. This is called March Madness. How many of you are March Mad people? All right. And I'll tell you, I get carried away sometimes, and my mother turned 90 years old this year, March the 9th. We had a birthday party for her. It really was wonderful. My brother came in town. God answered prayer. My sister came in town, and we spent some time together, and that was wonderful. But she is a basketball, football, wrestling, track, lacrosse. No, she never watched lacrosse. All right. She's not as I guess I can say, as interested in sports as Peg is over here. But my mother and dad grew up at South Williamsport, and I wrestled there many years ago, and my brother played football. He's the older brother, was older than me, and he starred in all of that stuff. And so they got interested, and they started following him. And then I came on the scene. I didn't play football, and so, but they followed me in wrestling. And then my sister came along, and they followed her. And so they went to every event. And they're known in South Williamsport as Mr. and Mrs. Mountie. Okay, so I'm a Henderson, and as soon as somebody sees me in South Williamsport, they say, oh, yeah, your mom. Yeah. But March Madness is one of those times of the year that I just went through wrestling season, of course, regional and PIAA championships. Now nationals are coming up for that. But in the midst of that, you've got this sports thing, and all the you've got the basketball championships, and people go nuts over it, and they really do. They follow stuff, and my wife says, "Are you going to watch this again?" Yeah, okay. And you stay up till midnight watching these dumb games, and you think, "Oh my word, what's happening?" But it's life, and it's real life, and it's living. And if you don't get attached to something, you know, do something crazy, you'll miss out on a lot. And so I've done that, and I do it, and I'm crazy. But praise the Lord that Pastor Long is away. He gives me the opportunity to preach, and Josh, and Pastor Josh, and gives us lots of fun here. So we're going to try tonight to look at real living, real living. Years and years ago, I went to a holiness conference, and Pastor Long came in town, and the church began to grow, and one of the things he took the deacons to was a holiness conference all the way out in Wisconsin, cheese country, and introduced us to some real preaching out there on something that I had not been exposed to in all of my years of preaching and living for the Lord. And he as well got attached to this idea, which is Christ living or Christ life or living in the spirits or living by the Spirit. And for me, it was different. What does it mean to live by the Spirit? The book of Galatians talks a lot about that, and we're going to be there tonight. But I want to introduce that by a illustration that one of the evangelists out there brought about real living. and about being attached to something that we have already been given, and that's an inheritance. Listen carefully. The story is told about a poor Civil War soldier who had been severely injured in the war. After being sent home, eventually he received a letter from Abraham Lincoln. However, he was illiterate, so he could not read the contents of the letter. He simply was told that the letter was from Abraham Lincoln. This man, in his poverty, dressed in rags, although he would boast of receiving a letter from Abraham Lincoln, people did not take him seriously. Some would even laugh in disbelief. And after a number of years, a man who heard him boast of this asked to see the letter. Upon opening it, he found it to be a healthy pension from the government because of the man's war's injuries. It was signed by Abraham Lincoln. Here was a poor man who had been given a healthy pension, but he was not using it because he did not know what he had. I don't know if this is actually true or not true, but it does illustrate this point. Every child of God possesses a wonderful inheritance. And to use it and to misuse it and to not use it is something that we need to learn so much about. The Bible says this in the book of Galatians in chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, if you want to please turn there, that God sent forth his Son into the world to do something. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 down through 7. We read these verses at Christmas time, but the Bible says this: but when in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son into the world, all right, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that law is the law of sin and death. And then he says this: and because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts. If a son, it says there, and God are sent into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. It is amazing to be called an heir of God. It is amazing to be given that particular privilege. How is it possible to live your life? How is it possible to live my life being an heir of God? Well, we can do it simply because he gave us something, a gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit of God, the second person of the Trinity. He came, and the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that he dwells within us. And you know that theologically, and we know that as we hear it from the pulpits and we hear it preached about. But what about the practicality of that? What about using it, and what about depending upon the Spirit of God? How is it possible to live day by day on the victory side? I entitled this message Real Living. And real living is living on top of the world. Yeah, well, it's living by depending on someone other than ourselves. I know Pastor has talked about this and preached about it a whole lot. And yet, we need to be reminded again and again how it is possible to do that. The Bible calls this living or walking by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Look at it, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I know the pastor has preached on this, and this is fine. And this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The following verses deal with all of the things of the flesh and all the things that we can get involved in. But the way to avoid that is to walk in the Spirit. That is to be controlled by the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. This life is possible, and victory is assured, but we need to depend upon Him daily and to get out of ourselves and to get into Christ. The Bible says this in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the what? Hope of glory. The glory in Jesus Christ. That is exciting. John Val Gendron, one of the preachers there, wrote a book, and it's called The Wind of the Spirit. I've read it, and this past week I was challenged again as I was studying and knowing that this was going to come up, and I thought, what in the world am I going to preach on? And I opened up, and I have preached on this before, and these things are refreshing to me to think about, and I remind you of them as well. That the Holy Spirit of God, the wind of the Spirit, needs to be our teacher and our guide. He has given to us eternal life, and that life is worth living as we live by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the goodness that you've shown to us, our time together. Thank you for our dear pastor, and pray you give him refreshment of being away and the time with his daughter, his family. Pray that, dear Lord, that you would ignite him. Know that these days in the past have been difficult for him with so many of our people in this church losing some dear ones and been graduating into heaven. That's a glory, but sometimes it's very difficult for a pastor to be able to preach a funeral after a funeral and talk to people. And we pray you'd give him refreshment. Thank you for our dear youth pastor here. Pray you'd encourage him and his dear wife and the little boy that God has given to them. Pray you'd encourage them. Bless our whole church here. We pray, dear Father, that you will once again help us as we look into the Word of God. Refresh our hearts. Help us, dear Lord. Help me to stay on task tonight. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Recognizing that God has given from these verses, look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. God has given us two gifts. Number one, He's given us Jesus Christ. He's given us salvation. He's really given to us eternal life, and that's in Jesus Christ. We understand that. And that happened 2,000 years ago. That happened when he came into the world, and the world received him not, and to as many of them that gave unto him, I can't think of the verses, Acts chapter 1, all right, but he gave unto us the Spirit of God, the second gift. That gift remains. The first gift, all right, He's in heaven, and we're looking forward to him coming back. I have no idea how that's going to happen, and all that. So we've got the scriptures tell us all those types of things. But this gift will be here and in us until we're taken up. And last Sunday night, if you were here, that was so exciting with Pastor preaching about, and I tell you what, I needed that. I don't know about, if you missed it, you missed it. All right, not the rapture. He was preaching about the rapture. All right, but and I'll tell you, that was encouraging. It really was. So he's given to us the Holy Spirit of God. Well, and giving us, number one, the Spirit, or his Son, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's my verse, John 1:12. All right. But as a child of God, he's given to us something. And I'm going to entitle these as I go down through here and help you to see some of these dynamics. This is really taken from, a lot of from the text of this here. So we're going to take a look at these, all right? And what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell us, but he empowers us. And the evangelist calls this the endowment of the Spirit, or the promise of the Spirit. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go to it quick. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. You remember that the Bible teaches us and shows us exactly when this particular take place. Jesus was taken up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, and the promise of the Spirit was given, but ye shall receive, verse 8, power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, and all Samaria. Of course, we use that for evangelists, but it's actually for us, all right, to the uttermost parts of the world. And when he had spoken these things, and when they taken him up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, there's Christ, Jesus Christ is going up into heaven. And at that point, the promise of the Spirit, later on in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is given to the church. And the endowment of that is the very fact that the empowerment of that is given to us. The endowment, the promise of the Spirit. Do you have any endowments? I didn't have to promise anything to get married. I didn't have to give anything to your dad, did I? They always ask for an endowment, right? Did you have to give anything to your dad? Father-in-law, you didn't have to get anything? Was that something that everybody used to do in the past? Was that real? All right. So it's a promise. It's really in a promise, well, I'm going to take care of her, and I did. All right. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I hope so. All right. After 13 grandchildren, we don't know what's going to happen. All right. But anyways, all right. No more. All right. But we're doing really good. All right. But the endowment of that is the promise. We have been endowed with the same power, but it needs to be acted on by faith. We need to cry out as the Father did in Mark chapter 9. And he cried out after Jesus to heal. And he says, help thou mine unbelief. In Mark chapter 9, man comes to Jesus and he says, I need your help. But he said, help mine unbelief. What is that? Sometimes we don't believe that God the Holy Spirit can do something through us and in our lives. So that endowment, he's promised that. And that is the person of the Holy Spirit. So help thou mine, who, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. We have this, all right, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what is that endowment? Well, it's the power. Our resident, what shall I call you? Guru on the computer, Mr. White. The other day I was talking about my computer, and I said, man, my battery is going dead, so I need a new charge on my battery. He said, well, you can get online, and you can get all that sort of stuff, and they'll send it to you. I didn't do it yet. But anyways, you need a new power. We don't need a new power. We need to act upon the power that God has already given to us in the person of the Holy Ghost. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. We're going to stay in the book of Galatians. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. 27, 8, and 29. But as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, and there is neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if ye have be in Christ, then are ye in Abraham's seed and heirs. And here's the word, according to the what? The promise. There it is. The promise of the Holy Spirit of God. So the endowment of that. It is really positionally there. It is really something that he has given to us, and that puts the position there. But there's something that can nullify that. And he calls this the enfeeblement. In other words, what can cancel that out? Well, it's actually not depending upon the Spirit of God. It's not doing that. Look at Galatians 4:9. What do we mean by that? Well, you can do that. God has given to you. All right? Galatians, where are we at? Galatians 4:9. But now after they have known of God, but rather known by God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements of which you desired again in bondage? What's he talking about here? He's talking about that war between the spirit and the flesh, something that you and I all possess. And someday that flesh is going to be gone, all right? And it was going to be absolutely glorified, even as Christ, when he walked out of that tomb, all right, and his body was absolutely rid and absolutely glorified, and you and I will possess that. Isn't that exciting? We will have a flesh. Now, I don't know, the scriptures talk about it in the book of Revelation and other places. It talks about that, and I don't know exactly what that body is going to look like, but I believe I'm going to look pretty good. All right? All the goofy things about you are going to be gone. I don't know. All right? But a study of heaven, and we went through that with our Sunday school class, a study of heaven really shows that we're going to know each other. So I'm going to know you, Ray. All right? All right. Okay. We're going to know each other. Isn't that great? You know, we're going to be smiling and all that. But anyways, what am I talking about? I don't know. I'll get away here. All right. So this has to be acted upon not out of unbelief. All right. Now, Galatians talks about it. This is what's going to cancel out. And you know, pastor talked about this. I'm walking according to the flesh. And I'm ready, and he does that, you know, 1-2 punch and all that sort of stuff, and he does that, and what is that? Well, that's depending upon something that's in here, all right, something in my flesh, and I can do that. But he, the Spirit of God, God wants us to depend upon him. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. All right, go back a little bit there. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And he's talking about that. You should not obey the truth. This is the new truth that he was given here, the Holy Spirit of God. You have to understand that Paul was writing to believers in Galatia. And there in Galatia, all right, the Holy Spirit had given the Word of God, and these words were given to them during the period of the Acts, and they were reading this for the first time. So he's writing this back to them, and he said, hey, listen, you guys are being foolish, all right? Jesus Christ had been openly set forth crucified. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of the works by the law or by the bearing or the faith? In other words, did you go out and actually physically get the Spirit of God some way? No. Because it is by faith. And herein lies the biggest difficulty in this walking by the Spirit. That is walking by faith. Believing is receiving. Okay? Get that. Believing is receiving. When you believe that, when you understand that, and you take it in for yourself, that's exactly what it is. All right? So Galatians talks about that. Now notice what he says there in verse number 3, O ye foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain. Therefore, he talks about ministering. So we need to be able to walk by something called faith and not by sight. Because it's so easy to depend upon something which is called the flesh. And I do it every time I work on the automobile. Or I get underneath and I turn a nut the wrong way and, ugh, you know, or I take a knuckle off. You know what I'm talking about. All right? And you do something goofy and all right? And you're depending upon the flesh and not the spirit. And you know how that is. So that's the enfeeblement. Number three, he talks about the entitlement. Now, this is exciting, all right? The entitlement, all right? And that is, what has he provided you with? The entitlement of this Holy Spirit is to walk by, and I just mentioned it to you once again, and it is to walk by faith and not by sight in the Spirit. This is Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Go to Colossians, or go to Galatians 3:26 and 27. We already looked at that, I think. Let's look at that one more time. And the Bible says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized, that is placed into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, don't get that misconstrued. All right? Not like when you get to the waters of baptism, you're putting on Christ. No. This is a really a positional truth that he's talking about there. And it's very, very important that you understand that this is by faith, the access of that. Now, I have an illustration to get to this entitlement here. The entitlement not only comes as we access the power of Christ by faith, Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, but by crucifying the flesh daily, as Romans 6:14 and as Galatians 2:20 talks about. Galatians 2:20 is really the premise of this whole thing. Look at it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Paul would write and say what? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, here it is, live. Yet not I liveth, and he says there, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by, there's our word, faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let me see if I can get my illustration out here. If I can get my page, I have it here. Now, the evangelist talks about this, and I thought that this was quite interesting. How many of you have ever been up in a hot air balloon? Are you kidding? Neither have I. Actually, we were up in Binghamton, and this first church that I served as assistant to the pastor. I was right out of Bible school. Actually, I was in Bible school and came out. And actually, we're living right next to a big, big, big field and they in Binghamton City, and they would put hot air balloons up. Well, this one day, the hot air balloon came down right next door. And we could see this coming down and, you know, and all these people come flooding around and to the hot air balloon. So we got to see this. But the example of the hot air balloon, you think of a hot air balloon, the only way it goes up is there's hot air and it rises, right? It goes up, okay? Now think of a hot air balloon. Now think about this. For example, physically, we know the law of gravity. And there is a constant tendency toward planet Earth, right? Isaac Newton said, all right, the only way... if you drop something, it's going to go where? He discovered the law of gravity, right? And if you look at science and you figure out the whole thing, how does it work? I don't know, but it does, all right? So gravity pulls it down. Now listen to this. There is a constant tendency toward planet Earth. However, it is possible for another law to contradict the law of gravity. Consider the simple terms. The law of a hot air rising. Hot air balloons apply this law to overcome the law of gravity. When the hot air balloon soars above, seemingly without effort, it appears that there is no more law of gravity. And if you experienced it, you've been in a plane, all right? How many of you have been Full plane, okay? You've been in the plane? Watch it, okay. All right? Even though you're going straight ahead, and you seemingly, and I experienced this when we went to India several years ago, and I experienced this. I got up out of my seat, and on this huge, huge airplane, it's not one of the ones that they grounded. It was a 797 or something. It was a huge thing. It had 800 people in it or something. Anyways, but actually on the way back from India, I could get out of my seat and I could walk around in the plane. We're in the air. We're defying the law of gravity. All right. Now, a balloon does that. All right. It defies it. And if you're walking around in this balloon, you're thinking, oh man, I can do this is absolutely amazing. But guess what? If you go to the edge of the balloon and you step out of the balloon, what's going to happen to you? All right? You're no longer going to defy the law of gravity. Now, the illustration is this. That, depending upon the Spirit of God, and Christ is in us, we cannot step out of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to wander around. We need to continue to live by the Spirit. So he says here, when the hot air balloon soars upward, seemingly without effort, appears that, but, here it is, yet we know that the law of gravity is still in its place. It is simply being contradicted. Suppose you were to step into the basket of a hot air balloon for the ride. When the balloon soars upward, I told you that, and you do well because you're in the basket. The law of hot air is rising, and you would go up, all right? But what is the key to defying the law of gravity?
Stay in the basket.
What? Yes, you got it. Stay in the basket. Now, very simply, that's exactly what we need to do. And that is we need to stay in Christ. And I'll tell you what, the devil, he does a really good job of getting us out of the basket. But it is the power of the cross. It is the power that Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is the power that Paul would say in Galatians 2:20 in that great verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he said there, for me to live is Christ. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Number four, enthronement goes into that next one. Entitlement, yes, that's the purpose, that's provided, but how about enthronement? What am I talking about that? Well, we think about who's sitting there on your heart. Who's sitting in the middle of your life? If you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, there's someone there all the time. You know. And you get in the midst of some enfleshment activity, the Spirit of God speaks to you and says, no, this is the way, walk ye in it, and you're there trying, and there's a war that's going on in there. So, the enthronement is keyed to this verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Body, holy and acceptable unto you, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye, and the big word is transformers. No, transformed. Be transformed. And that's what God really, really wants you and I to experience in our lives. That's daily, by faith, to surrender our life. When we receive the power of the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, just as you receive the Spirit by faith at salvation, Galatians 3:2 and Galatians 3:14, you daily keep receiving the Spirit of God. You daily. It is a daily process. Because you get up in the morning, or maybe you go to, maybe you work at night, or whatever you arise, okay? And the day starts for you. God, I need your help. I need something. And I need you to do that. An illustration with this one, and this is a little lengthy illustration, but I'll just read this. This is good. I use this with salvation. But listen carefully. Early in 1859, a tightrope walker from France named Blondin left Barnum's Circus and entered a partnership with Harry Concord. Concord acted as the clerk and agent, and Blondin acted as a stuntman. In the hopes of making a fortune, money's involved in this, they arranged for a tightrope to be stretched across the Niagara Falls. This is true, okay? 1,100 feet across the wild torrent of the Niagara River. I actually swam in the Niagara River and actually water skied in the Niagara River. And it's amazing. You see, you're there, and it's really moving. This was above the falls. I didn't go over the falls. Okay. All right. Now, the final length of rope stretched across 1,100 feet, and 190 feet below installed a heavy strand sagging 20 feet in the middle of the span. Since the gorge is normally windy, the rope moved sluggishly back and forth. You get the idea. With a massive crowd watching within the fight in anticipation, Blondin made his first walk June 30th, 1859. Actually did. All right. A quarter of the way out, Blondin stopped and yawned and he stretched forth, laying down on the rope, all right, and 38-foot balancing pole on his chest. You can see this. And appeared to snooze for a minute. He would actually lay down on the rope. All right, this guy was amazing. All right. He patiently dangled with the rope 180 feet and so waited the boat. And a small bottle was attached. The daredevil reeled the rope back and forth and sat down and he took a drink. He was actually drinking on this. This is absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe this. But anyways, he did. Then he ran slightly to the mooring of the applause from the both banks and momentarily suppressed the roar of the Niagara Falls. On July the 4th, he crossed a heavy sack of blankets, blindly feeling his way. On his return, he walked backwards. He bicycled, and then he came out pushing a wheelbarrow. Can you believe this? He did this, all right? And he ate an omelet, and he cooked an omelet, and he ate there. Yet, in order to keep the crowds coming, Blondin thought of an incredible stunt. Now, this is what he did. This is the most incredible stunt that he ever did, all right? He did this. He said, in early August, Blondin told Concord, Harry, here's the incredible stunt, and I will complete, and our fortune will be ours. I'll find a man that I can carry with me across. Oh, are you kidding? Yes. But the meeting of the star and his agent with the press, Blondin cheerfully announced that he would carry his friend Harry Concord across. On August the 17th, after landing on the Canadian side, Blondin realized that Concord was in a state of terror. He said, I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to do this. Absolutely. And this was his agent. All right. Now, when the rolling water sped about 42 miles per hour, all right, beside the rope, about 100,000 people called encouragement. In the days, Harry Concord, apprentice daredevil, mounted his back, wrapped his arms around Blondin, all right, and the balancing pole added 40 more pounds. As Blondin walked out, Concord tightened his embrace. And as the Blondin barely gunted, to release his grip, Harry, by supreme will, obeyed. And Harry remembered the moment. Over all the horrible gulf, he looked down. Blondin walked on steadily and causing a brief moment at the point where the guy wires, they had these guy wires out there, and it was holding the rope, all right? Now, and this is where it comes down to. And above the roar of the water and the wind, Harry, you are no longer Concord. You are Blondin. said, this is how you're going to be able to do it. And this is what happened. Until I clear this place, he said, be a part of me, mind and body and soul. If I sway, you sway. If I go forward, you go with me. And Harry Concord cooperated, and they made it across. Notice the analogy. Compare Harry. You are no longer alone, but you are in Christ. Hymn writer put it this way. We have this in a hymn book. It's not in ours hymn book. Not I but Christ. Not I but Christ be honored, loved, exalted. Not I but Christ be seen, be known, be heard. Not I but Christ in every look and every action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may no longer, no more, I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me. This enthronement of the Holy Spirit makes way for what is called now the enablement. How is he going to enable you to do it? Galatians 4:19. Stay with me. Galatians 4:19. This is real living. Galatians 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. How is he going to be formed in me? That's why we who want to live for Christ, who want a daily walk for Christ, spend hours and hours in hearing the Word of God preached and taught and reading the Word of God and in internalizing the Word of God. And I commend you for being here regularly to hear the Word of God and to hear that that's exactly the wind of the Spirit. That's how it takes place. This is real living by the power of the Spirit. Partaking Christ daily, living by faith, living completely by faith. This is that true bread from heaven. You see, it's what's on the inside that will show on the outside. That day when he went across that Niagara Falls and the water was bubbling and he turned to the man and said, you're no longer yourself. You're no longer yourself. I'm no longer myself, but I belong to Christ. And by faith, the Holy Spirit of God works in a great way in our lives. Finally, what is this all for? It's for the purpose of doing something for Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. This is how he entrusts us with the Holy Spirit. He entrusts us with some, I hate to say the word thing, but a person to do something in my life. Galatians chapter 1. All through the New Testament, Paul the apostle, the greatest evangelist, missionary, preached to thousands, led souls to Christ, established churches. How did he do it? Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He did it, but when it pleased God, who separated from me in my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen or Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and not with blood. How do you witness to someone? How do you talk to someone about Christ that's never heard? You depend upon the Spirit. You get out of yourself and you get into Christ. It is now the outworking of the inworking. Are we living up to our potential? I close, I think, with this one. Let me get that. The enablement is for the purpose of usefulness. The Spirit enables us to be holy so that we can serve God. This exchanged life invests us with a trust. It's called Spirit enabling. That I may preach Christ. When Christ is living through you, he is seen and he is heard in a tremendous way. Are we living according to the Spirit of Christ? There was a woman at a well. I'm looking for my notes here. I thought I had it here. Could you move my... All right, where is it? I don't have it here. What number did I choose for the closing? 105? Is that what it is? Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things they could not satisfy. Then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. The filling of the Spirit, the depending upon the Spirit of God. Oh, we need to walk in the Spirit. The endowment can be canceled by the enfeeblement. That's unbelief. We are entitled to the provision of Christ. The enthronement means that we are going to be giving our life and surrendering our life to sacrifice daily because we're entrusted with a purpose to walk and to talk and tell others of this gracious Spirit of God who lives within us. Father, thank you for the joy of being here tonight, and thank you for each one that's here. I pray, dear Lord, that you would use us in this week. Cause us to have a closer walk with Christ, to show others that there is life worth living, real living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be dismissed.